Don't get lost in the waves of change.
190 pages, tens of hours of lawyers. One takeaway today is you now put on your listing agent hat when you meet with a buyer and you treat him the same way. So that's what you need to take away.
KGCI Real Estate on Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
It's a consultation and a strategy. When you think of how people need to buy a home in this market, it takes great strategy. So why not strategize with that buyer? They need your help more than ever.
Depend on KGCI Real Estate on Air.
Hello, everybody. It's Marguerite Crespillo, and I am extremely excited about my guest today on Real Estate Real World. This is someone who I've watched and admired for the last few years, not only because she's an extraordinary human being, but because she has really risen in a powerful leadership role by what she is doing as an example to other women out there. And so I've watched her, I've admired her. We've been trying to get together for a while and we're finally making it happen. We're here at year end. So let's dive right in. I am super excited to welcome Veronica Figueroa.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. I'm excited. I understand you're in Puerto Rico right now.
I am in Puerto Rico. Pardon any loud noise behind the scenes. Like, it's just crazy here with the way the plumbing works. I'm hearing some plumbing issues in the background.
don't even worry about it. I keep hoping my dogs don't flip out, right? Like, they like to sit right outside my door and wait until a perfect moment to make lots of noise.
So. It just means we're relatable, right? We're working from home. It's the end of the year. I'm working out of my home in Puerto Rico, and I'm at my kitchen island. I didn't want to do the whole formal office thing. So you're going to get the real, the raw, the relatable version. So
we'll see. Even your shirt, though, you're all color coordinated now. I'm really excited to have you today. Like I said, I've watched you the last few years. I've now been at eXp 7 years. How long have you been here?
4.5 years.
Yeah. So I remember when you blasted onto the scene, and it's been really fun to watch you rise in a leadership role and all that you're doing to give back and to help the industry. So I'm excited about that.
When I say it out loud, I can't believe I'm like, oh my gosh, it's almost been 5 years. It feels like just yesterday, and I'm still super excited and still pumped and like loving every minute here. And like anything in life, when you're a part of something that you're passionate, it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like if it was 4.5 years, it actually feels like just yesterday.
So. Exactly. So my big question to you really is more about your background. Like, how did you get into real estate and how did this work out? And I know you've got a great relationship with your husband. I sent you my book. Hopefully you got my 100 Things I Love About You book. And because you showed me you were reading it on a plane or something one time. But how has all that dynamic worked? Like, how did you get into real estate? And how is that working with your husband? And tell us a little bit about your life.
Yeah, I got into real estate in 2001. Actually, that's when I got my license. I never really thought about getting into real estate. My career path at the time was human resources. That's where I thought I was going to be for the rest of my life. It's what my dream job that I wanted. And I was working in that field. And then I moved. And a friend of mine said to me, hey, while you're waiting for your new role, can you accompany me and get your real estate license? He was like, it's timeshare capital of the world, right? Orlando, Florida. He was like, we can get our real estate license and we can be rich. And I'm like, no, I'm good. He was like, you're not working yet, because I just relocated. He was like, 2 weeks. What's 2 weeks? I was like, you know what? You're right. I could just finish college. I was transitioning. I was like, what's one more thing that I can add to my resume? And I was like, okay, I'll go. So I got my real estate license without any real desire to do so. It was just helping a friend out who needed a study partner, and just was like, hey, this would be cool. Really, then I found out he wanted to cheat on my test. Like, hey, what'd you get for that answer? I'm like, funny thing is, he didn't pass. I passed. And it's always like a funny joke that we laugh about. Eventually he passed. But I didn't do anything with it. I didn't really do anything with it for the first few years. I ended up working for a timeshare company in human resources. And then there were times that I trained with the team just to see how the sales team operated and the art of persuasion and the art of sales skills that I thought that was very impressive. But I worked on the human resource side of it. But I had my license. I never activated it. No, actually, I didn't activate it. So it was just sitting there idle. It wasn't until I went through a divorce in 2004 that I was like, I need to supplement my income. How can I do this? And I thought I was going to do real estate part-time, just pick up a couple extra opportunities, maybe clients that would trust me. And I don't do anything small. So it was just something that, although I told myself that, I was like, oh, I'll just do it part-time. It's really not in my DNA to do anything like half-ass, pardon my French. But I started doing real estate part-time and quickly fell in love with it. And I originally said this was going to supplement my income, but then I realized, wow, like I just surpassed half of my annual salary in a quarter. And I was like, what if I do this full time? What would my life look like? And what quality of life can I provide for my children? At the time, I wanted to keep them in private school. I was buying another house. I wanted to make sure that I could provide for them and not, you know, struggle. So when I had that moment of clarity that I said, wait, I can do this full time and get even triple, double, like even more of the results that I got. That was the idea. And my mom, I remember calling her. She was like, you're crazy. She was like, you went to college. You got your dream, supposedly the position that you've always wanted. You're going to work your way up. I was like, yeah, mom, but this just feels different. I'm helping people. I love the feeling. I love the whole, everything about residential real estate. I fell in love with it. And I quit my full-time job and never looked back. And that was 2005 when I made that decision. And of course, I've gone through different phases and seasons in real estate. It wasn't always perfect. I just made $56,000 my first year in real estate part-time. And then after that full-time, always made over six figures, then eventually crossed over into a seven-figure mark. And then I was just like, okay, like when I started building teams, and it's just been an amazing ride. And then as far as my husband goes, he was my biggest inspiration when I met him right around that time as well. So he was like, dude, you could do this. You're a rock star. And he was my biggest hype person. And then when I got busy, it was funny because I got into real estate. He didn't. But when I got busy, he was helping me. I was doing, whether it was dropping off lock boxes, whether it was installing signs, whether it was doing things that I needed help with, he was always there to help and support me. And then he saw that I needed leverage and I hired a couple people. And then one day I just said, why don't you just come work with me? And I was like, why don't you quit your job and come work with me? He's like, you're crazy. Because we have five kids. When we met, we both had children from previous marriages, but the kids were small and we chose to raise our children together. And it was interesting when I told him, I was like, let's do this. He's like, you're crazy. He was like, this is a big risk. Somebody has to be the safety net here. And I was like, nah, we could do this. And he quit and he's never looked back. And has it been challenging? Absolutely. Working with your spouse is not easy, but there's no other way I would have had it. It's been amazing. We've learned our strengths. We've learned what our weaknesses are, where our challenges are, and we still work through it. But here we are 18 years later, married, 20 since I originally, I'll be celebrating my 20th year anniversary full-time in real estate in 2024. And he's been a part of the ride ever since, from the beginning.
It's great because so on December 23rd, celebrated my 30th year in real estate, 30 years, yeah. And I originally got my license to do loans because my husband was in the mortgage business and interest rates had dropped to an all-time low of 8%. And we thought they're never going to get lower, and it was refi mania. So I did loans for about a year, but I hated the loan business. God bless all those lenders out there. It's not for me. And so I got into real estate immediately. Same thing, took off, loved it, started selling 100 homes a year, fell in love with it, opened a brokerage. Big mistake, we all learn. Opened a brokerage in 96. And then in 99, my husband, who worked for the secondary market for First Union Bank back in the day, he got like, they were going through all the bank mergers. If you don't, you weren't in the business back then, but they were doing all these bank mergers. And so he was in like the top 20% of the upper level management. So he got laid off. And I said, why don't you just come work with me? Same thing. And so he did loans for a bit, and then he again was so burned out on the retail part of loans. And so he came and ran our brokerage for quite a while until we closed it in 2015. And then thanks to EXP, we got to retire him in 2018. But he still claims to be my assistant. He still goes and puts lock boxes on for me or picks things up and does stuff. I got to keep him busy, keep him out of trouble.
Yeah. I'm so proud of my husband now. He is, through our, I would say, partnership working together and how we've been able to unlock certain opportunities and as a team and showing up together. He just got back into the workforce after 18 years of not having to be in the workforce and just being obviously an entrepreneur with me and my business partner. And I'm so excited for him because it's a passion project now for him. He's now the vice president of realty.com. And it's been just how we've grown that opportunity and our success as a team that, you know, he wasn't looking for a job or an opportunity, but it was, we became really good friends with the owner and the CEO of the company. He was like, I could really use your leadership style. You guys have done some really cool stuff. And I'll never forget when, you know, I got the call and he was like, what do you think? I was like, it sounds like fun. He was like, all right, the minute I'm not having fun, I'll let you know. He was like, but I'm really excited about this project. I was like, yeah, the team's rolling. I got this covered. This is your baby. Go do it. And let me know how I can support you. So now it's really cool to see him in the driver's seat leading and taking a national company to a new level. I'm super excited for him and what he's doing now. He's been super supportive of my world for the last 20 years. I'm excited to now shift and reverse the roles and now me being his biggest cheerleader while he just goes out there and makes a difference.
That's really exciting. I know that what worked for Joe and I, and maybe you can address this in working together, because you're right, there's challenges, right? Like, you have to remember to have a life outside of work and it can all get so convoluted. And I remember us learning to stay in our corners, right? Like, these are the responsibilities he has and these are the responsibilities I have. And I stay out of his, you know, playground and he stays out of my playground. Obviously, it made it easier for us to be able to talk and communicate when we did that. Like, these were the things he had to do and this stuff I had to do. Because otherwise, it got, like, when he was doing loans and I was doing real estate and he would do loans for the clients, oh, it was a hot mess. I was like, no, we can't do that. Because deals can become challenging. And when they come challenging, you're the realtor and he's the lender. It didn't go well.
Oh, no, I would not want to be, I don't want to sit at the table that night. Nope.
No. And so we had to learn to separate that stuff and do some. And now, like I said, he's retired. So it's even better that he gets to do his thing and he's there to support me and encourage me. But so my big question to you is, I wanted to talk a little bit about leadership, because one thing that I see in the industry as a whole is not enough women leaders, right? Not enough women rising up to lead. And I'm not really sure what all those dynamics are. I'm still trying to figure out, like, why are, because there's extraordinary women out there and 65% of the industry are women. So did something change or trigger you to do more in leadership, or what has helped you move into that arena? And what are your thoughts about women in leadership?
Yeah, I am such a woman's leader advocate. I am excited about the future because I know that we still have so much work to do, but I think we're in a really good place where women have shown up to just boss up, and we are just, we now have no excuses. Like, we are leading by example. We are sitting at big tables. We are leading big companies, making big decisions, and it's our time. I think some people have paved the way for us, right? Others have paved the way for us. We still have a lot of work to do, but it's exciting times for women. And I think I've stopped telling myself this story that women in leadership is like an anomaly. I'm like, no, we're pioneering this new wave of leadership, and it's really fun to be a part of it. For me, I think I've just always naturally been a leader, and leadership can be good and bad. Like, you can lead people into bad things. You can lead people into good things. And I wasn't always the best leader, but a leader, definitely. Always someone that used my voice, always someone that can move the room, always someone that could probably influence others. As a little girl, I'll never forget my mom, she was cleaning out some things and she gave me this, she says, look what I found. And she had these certificates of some things of when I was growing up. And it was like an award that the teacher gave, most likely to be the boss. She was like, I was 6 years old or 7 years old when I got that certificate from my teacher.
So you need to post that, girl. You need to post that later.
It's crazy. I actually do have that. And we tell little girls, don't be bossy, or you're just so bossy. No, I was just outspoken. I was driven. I was ambitious. And for me, is I think we're taught to sometimes suppress our leadership skills and our energy because we're too much. I grew up being told I was too much, too extra, this, right? And it was like, girl, calm down. You know, and I'm like, but I'm excited and I'm passionate. I was always passionate about people. And it, growing up, I think of the crews I hung out with or like my girlfriends when we were younger. And I'm 4'11", but that didn't stop me from being this big ball of energy, right? So my leadership, I think, was lived inside of me from as a young girl. And then, of course, I would always take initiative. I would take initiative even when I didn't need it, have a title, even when it wasn't my responsibility to do something. I was like, I'll do it. I don't mind helping. I look back on my life and I think of, oh yeah, I could see where I was showing up like a leader, but I didn't have a title at the time. I was showing up as a leader and I wasn't getting paid for it. But it's just how I'm wired. I think women in leadership, I think the thing is you have to love being, and you have to really recognize that even when you are a leader, sometimes leadership doesn't feel good because it comes with rejection. It comes with a lot of pressure. I was just talking to one of my friends who in the industry has built an amazing business. And we were sharing how some people have used our success as a negative. Oh, you'll never be like so-and-so, or you'll never be like them. So why support them? Go become their competitor. And it was interesting. And I said, this year I had an opportunity to reflect. My name has been used in certain things by, let's say, competitors or people who might want to leverage my success to intimidate others or make people believe that they're not able to accomplish what we've accomplished or that whatever that case might be. And I said, you know what? I had to remind myself that when you put yourself in the position that we have put ourselves in, to lead boldly, to be a big voice, to put yourself out there at a high level, to be vulnerable, to just dare to be different and stand up as a leader, the rejection that comes along with it and sometimes the challenges that come along with it because people use you as a reference point or they want to leverage your success to build their success, it's part of being a leader. You can't have these big ambitions and then when shit gets hard, leadership gets hard, excuse my French, bleep that out if you want. It's you can't say, I signed up for leadership, but only on the good days.
Yeah.
I only want the good days of leadership. So for me, leadership comes with its challenges and you have to be ready for that. And I think for women, we're oftentimes a little bit more emotional. We have our hormones. We have our moments where we feel like, don't be so hard on me. I'm a girl. No. So I have this philosophy. I got to put my big girl pants on. And I asked for a seat at the table. I asked to have a big life. I asked for that. So with the stress that comes along with leadership, you better buckle up and be okay with some challenges. You better buckle up and be okay with the hard stuff that comes along with leadership. And I think that's where some people can't handle leadership. I think a lot of women are intimidated with the pressure that comes with leadership. And I would challenge them to say, like, push through it, muscle through it. Because on the other side, you come out so much stronger. You come out a better leader. And when my back is up against the wall in leadership is when I am challenged to think in a creative way. And I'm like, okay, what would I do in this situation? What can I do? What can I learn from this? And I was talking to my friend about it and she was like, I'm so glad you said that. She was like, because I can look back in that moment where I was just thinking my world was falling apart. I came out stronger. I feel like it prepared me for this next season of leadership. And I just think it's a beautiful thing when you get through those challenging times. So I know that was long-winded.
A few things came out of that is that I was having a conversation with my older son yesterday, and he's getting ready to start his own business. And he's been super apprehensive about it. He's so afraid to take that leap, right? To take that jump because it's jumping into the unknowns, which like you, that has never fazed me. I'll jump. I don't I'll go do whatever I got to do. I'll figure it out later. And so he struggled with it. And I said to him, I go, one of the things I remember somebody telling me years ago is that the most successful people that I know will make the big call. And the big call is the one you don't want to make. And the faster you make that call and get it over with, the better you're going to do, because we all have those challenges. And when those challenges rise, some of us just like, no, I can't do that, or I'm not ready, or I need the dynamics to be better, or this has to happen first before I do that. And some of us just jump. And I think that in my own personal life, like learning what that leadership role looks like, because I've operated so independently for so long. I had a great conversation on my podcast with Elizabeth Riley a couple weeks ago, and we'll reference it in this. And we talked about leadership, and I said, why didn't you rise sooner? She goes, because I'm not a leader. I just go sell houses. And she goes, and then all of a sudden, all these people around me kept saying, yes, you are. And yes, we need you. And we need you to show up. And I think that kind of made a little bit of a difference even for me. But sometimes it's hard to figure out, like, what is it? What does leadership even look like? What does that role look like? Because I don't know that we've historically had a lot of role models to watch. We have more so now. And I love how you said, we're bossing up. It's our time. Like that hit home for me.
But yeah, I think,
who do you look up to as a role model in a leadership way? And what does that look like for you?
I have a lot of role models. I have a lot of mentors. I think, the most amazing Rolodex of leadership mentors. Some are women, some are men. I don't believe that we have to be this, we don't have to have the position of ladies only learn from lady leaders. I have so many amazing coaches and mentors that are men who have poured into me, who have seen me. And I don't know if it's because I have a little bit of this killing energy. I got that big energy my father was a drill sergeant. So I didn't grow up being coddled. So my brother was, before I could go out and play with him and my cousins, they put me through obstacle courses. So I was just used to being like challenged by the boys. And I say that with love. Like I was like a tomboy. I was the girl that was like raised by male energy. And my mom was just a fighter too. She just got this like strong personality. So in life, I have all these mentors in my life, and it's a variety. Some are women, some are men. My coach is John Cheplak. He's one of the best, I think, real estate coaches out there. I have some amazing lady leader mentors. Amy Somerville, she's the CEO of Success, personal friend of mine. I have the pleasure of having access to her. Chris Suarez, Ben Kinney, two people that are in my world, and they're mega industry giants that are friends that I could just pick up the phone and just call and say, hey, can you coach me through this? I have my spiritual mentors. That's not only my therapist and my friend Colleen with CEO Chicks, where you bring faith into your business and you're able to like be passionate about business while also really using business as your platform to spread love and faith and growing in that area of your life, which is so important. My mother-in-law is someone that I look up to when I need mentorship in my faith. My mother is such a great role model to me. I just am so blessed with so many people. Recently, just even Brendon Burchard. Like I've had just this big life that I don't even know. How did this girl that was 16 and pregnant develop into this woman that has this life and this Rolodex of so many people? Glenn Sanford, I can text him and like literally just be like, Glenn, what's your opinion on this? And he's flown to my office and held masterminds and says, I want to help you. I feel so fortunate, Marguerite, that I just can't say only one person, because so many have blessed me. And the team that I have, the people that are in my world, they are also my mentors. I look at them and they inspire me to become a better leader. And they have inspired me in more ways that I give them credit, because every day they're teaching me, they're holding me accountable. So I just feel so abundantly blessed. It just exudes. Like it's just, I want to just keep on sharing.
Right? And I think that's part of the amazing part of this company and network that we're associated with is that willingness to collaborate, right, over competition. It's like the most valuable thing that I've personally seen. Tell me a time, I have two questions for you. What has been your biggest challenge and how did you get through it? And what would be the best advice you would give to your younger you?
My biggest challenge has been parenting. It's been my biggest challenge in life. And that I am still to this day humbled that I have the blessing of being the mother to these children who I wasn't ready when I had my children at a young age. I wasn't ready to become a mother, but you're never ready. You have this instinct and you just do the best you can. And then I'm blessed with this marriage where I meet a guy that I absolutely, you know, love. And he has these three beautiful children that I get the privilege of also raising, my bonus babies. And I look back and I'm like, I wasn't ready for that either. I wasn't ready. I didn't get the playbook. I was just a hustling entrepreneur, just trying to feed these kids. And next thing you know, they're adults. And I want to go back and say, wait, I didn't do this or I didn't do that. And how did this moment get away from us? And what's so interesting is that now, instead of living in this regret of what I didn't do with them, now I'm living in this moment of gratitude that I'm like, every minute counts of how we spend time together, how intentional we are as a family. And it's been such an amazing transformation in our family, how we used to operate in chaos and like, you know, raising a blended family is not easy. We have such a strong bond as a family now. And I'm watching like my kids are entrepreneurs. We've got some are entrepreneurs, some are nurses. Two of them are all in college going back to school to be nurses. And two are like really, three are entrepreneurs that just love entrepreneurship. And then they tell us how proud they are of us and how much we inspired them to keep going, how our resilience played into their success and what they had as a guiding light, even when they didn't give us credit, even when we didn't think that they were watching, even when they didn't recognize what was going on. And as far as the greatest challenge, obviously parenting and how I overcame, I'm still learning. What I'm going through right now, I'll tell you, is probably one of the most beautiful moments in my life. My son is my biggest hero. He was my hero back then when he was first born. Acting crazy. Okay. My son is just the oldest, who was always like the youngest, technically, the way he would act. And now he has completely changed his life. He has completely made a decision to go sober, made a decision to work on his personal growth, his life has completely changed, and he's inspiring me. He inspires his sisters, and just watching him thrive is like the ultimate parenting like blessing.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? When I met my husband, I was 22 years old, and he had three kids from his first wife. So I had three bonus kids before we ever had children, and we had three children together. And I've always said that being a step parent is a way harder job than being a parent. It's 10 times harder to be a step parent. But the greatest blessing is, so his youngest at the time was Philip, who was 1.5 years old when I met him. And he's now just turned 39 years old. And he's the one who's getting ready to start his business. And we have such an amazing relationship. It's been obviously a lot of challenging moments. And my middle stepson, Joey, I did a podcast with him a few weeks ago called Addicted to Growth. And it's fantastic because he's doing some of the same things. He's become sober and clean and all that. But I'll never forget the day Joey called me one day, because he's a stepdad now too. He's got two stepdaughters and then they have three kids together. And he goes, I just want to apologize. I go, apologize for what? He goes, now I know what it's like being a step parent and how hard it was on you all those years. And what a blessing. All we have six children, five are here on earth. We have one in heaven. But they're all our youngest now is 27 years old. I saw somebody post something about the coolest thing of hanging out with your adult kids is you get to see these parts of you, right? And the magic that you have put in to them to create the human beings that they are. And obviously they have their own personalities, but I feel so incredibly blessed to have been a part of all of their lives as well.
Yeah, what's really cool is like now it's funny how you see when someone steps up as a leader, like in our family chat every morning, like he sends his gratitude, like really deep gratitude list. And then he'll always add like, all right, what about you? Who's next? And now at first it was really awkward. Like my kids were like, who are you, dude? Like, what's up? And then now all of them, now they're all sending their gratitude lists in the morning and just so grateful for, I mean, deep stuff, which is really special to read. And I'm like, as a proud mom, I'm like,
I love that family chat. So you do that every day?
We have a family chat. Yes, we have a family chat with all the kids. And every morning, and we send pictures. We literally send inspirational quotes to each other. We celebrate each other. It's something that we do. And then every day we send gratitude to each other now.
I love that. I think I'm going to implement that. That'll be my New Year's implementation.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And if it's quiet, someone will be like, hey, tell me about something that happened good today in your life. Because we're all in different places. We have a daughter in Maryland with our granddaughter, and now her husband's in our group chat. He made it to the family chat. We have our other daughter who's in college at FSU. We have our other daughter who's in Orlando. Our son is in South Florida. Our other daughter's, you know, in Orlando, and she's a busy entrepreneur. So we don't see each other as much. Yeah. So it's our little family touch every single day.
Oh, that's so special. I love that. Yeah, ours are a little spread out. We have one in San Diego, one in El Paso, Texas, and then the rest are all here locally. They've got busy lives, and people get busy, and you don't hear from them as often as you would love to.
You can change that. You can be the one to initiate it. 2024, I want to see the family chat with the little heart emoji and just have fun with it and stay connected. There's no reason why we shouldn't.
I love that.
We're too busy, whatever. And now it's the one thing I look forward to the most.
I love that so much. As we wrap up today, let's get the last question I wanted to ask you. What would you tell your younger you?
What would I tell my younger me? I would say kinder things to myself. I would whisper nicer things to myself. I would tell myself that, like, be gentle with yourself. I was very critical with myself when I was younger, and I didn't need anyone to be hard on me because I was hard on myself. Yeah. And I really didn't nurture my mental health when I was younger. And I think that just the words you speak to yourself are so powerful, and you're going to get through it, sis. Like, I would just whisper to myself, you're going to get through it. You're going to come out on the other side so much better, stronger, and you're going to build a beautiful life. So just be gentle, be patient, fall in love with the process, and don't be tied to the outcome. It's really simple. I don't have any magic formula.
I love that. You know what? It's been fantastic talking to you. I know we could probably chat for hours, and we have to do that one of these days. I'm going to have to get out there to Puerto Rico and hang out with you.
Yeah. These are my favorite parts. I wasn't asked all the crazy real estate questions, which I'm glad, because I get tired of answering all those questions. So what's your business looking like today? I'm like, no, it's good. It's not the area that I don't want to be labeled as that. So I'm so glad that we went the family conversation route and life lessons route.
Thank you. When I started this podcast, it's been like 10 years since I've had this podcast. I put it on hold for a couple of years, but my original intent was I just wanted to talk to cool people and have conversations and get to know a little bit about their lives and what drives them, what motivates and inspires them. It almost always goes into something personal, some sort of family, somehow some dynamic or something that's happened. And to me, I think that's what people can relate to more than how many deals did you do and how did you do this amount of volume. And everybody's version of success is very different, right? Focusing on what that version of success looks like to me is not where the best conversations are.
Yeah, I know. It's so special when we get to really talk about life, and you just nailed it. Success looks different for me now than what it used to. And I just wrapped up the most successful week last week. I had all my kids here visiting. We got to spend time with our granddaughter, and we have a granddaughter on the way, and as a family, got to create some memories, and I'm like, this is success. This is what
grandkids are the best. I have a 10-month-old grandson.
I'm excited. I'm so excited. We'll have to catch up after the new one's born, and we'll brag about that grandbaby and what life looks like as a grandparent of two now.
100%. Thank you so much, Veronica, for being here today. It's fantastic getting the chance to chat with you and learn a little bit more about your life. And I look forward to connecting with you more in the coming year. I'm going to work on that family chat.
Oh, I'm going to hold you accountable to it.
I will. Thank you, everybody, for joining us again on Real Estate Real World, where we get to talk to all the cool people. Be sure to follow us on all the social channels and share with your friends. Conversations like this can inspire people that you don't even realize are out there listening. So thank you, everybody, for joining us, and make it a great day.
This is going to be the largest transfer of market share we've ever seen between agents in history.
KGCI Real Estate on Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
You treat your buyers just like you do a seller. You get a consultation, you pitch, and you compete for the value you will deliver for the fee you're willing to accept.
Stay informed, stay prepared. Depend on KGCI Real Estate on Air.